bring in Joe Fisher for our daily visit. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. It's interesting. I heard Mark Martin yesterday talking about the drug issue and how he said he was scared to death about the testing that NASCAR does because there is no specific list of banned substances or banned products. He said, and he specifically mentioned Claritin. He said, you're scared to take anything because you don't know if you're going to test positive for something because of that. So if a guy like that is concerned about it, I would imagine most of the other drivers are too.
Especially him with Metamucil too.
Yeah.
Joe, I want to ask you specifically about Jack.
About being a regular guy.
Really? Boy, you want to go down this road?
Sorry, yeah. Joe.
Joe,
didn't mean that for that to happen during this segment.
Joe, especially last weekend in the near sweep, the 2 out of 3 that Vanderbilt took at Georgia, Jack Armstrong, good performance, I believe, on Saturday, or it might have been on Friday, I guess, after Sonny Gray.
It was Friday. He pitched the last 3 innings on Friday.
He got off to an awful start, and he was one of the young pitchers I know that Tim Corbin knew he was going to have to stay with and, you know, just sort of let him get his feet wet. Talk about his progress, son of a former major leaguer. You know, we all know the story, but how's that gone so far?
Well, it's gone pretty well. He, as you said, he got off to a rough start his first performance, and when he left the game, he had an ERA of 98. So it's a long way to go to get better, and he's been pretty patient. I know there have been a lot of times when he sat out there in the bullpen and wished he could get in, but there were veteran arms ahead of him, and Tim Corbin and I talked about it in the middle of the season. I said, you know what may end up happening is you're going to get down the stretch of the season and have some fresh guys to bring out of the bullpen that a lot of other teams aren't going to have. They're going to be down in numbers, and you're actually going to have additions to your roster if this plays out right. And that's kind of what's happened. Now, Armstrong, over the last 2 weeks, has pitched pretty well. He pitched the last 3 innings on Friday in that Sonny Gray win. And then another guy that fits into that category is Grayson Garvin, a big left-hander who had a spectacular two-thirds of an inning in the Sunday game at Georgia. Came in bases loaded and one out and back-to-back strikeouts of their one and two hitters to end the inning. And so those are guys I think are going to figure more prominently down the stretch of the season and I think really help the pitching depth.
Joe, I had a chance to watch Jeremy Sowers last night, and the fact is if he gets behind hitters, he's toast because he just doesn't seem to have the velocity that he had when he was at Vanderbilt. Gave up 3 home runs, gave up 7 runs. I'm sure the Indians are going to give him 2 or 3 more starts, but kind of disappointing last night in watching that game.
You know, it's interesting, Mark, that point you make about it. If he gets behind in the count, he's in trouble. It's amazing how we found that kind of to be the case throughout baseball now, except on rare occasions. A guy like a Sonny Gray that can throw 96, 97, or as one of the scouts said at Georgia, 99 on a couple of occasions, according to one of the guns, he's got the stuff that can get out of a jam. You know, if you can throw that kind of heat, you have a chance to pitch from behind, have some more success pitching inside, those kind of things. The guys that don't have that kind of velocity are really in trouble if they have to come over the plate and a batter knows it's coming. And hopefully Jeremy will hang in there. And as you said, I hope Cleveland continues to give him another couple opportunities. I saw Jensen Lewis pitch right behind him in that game yesterday, as a matter of fact. And they really seem to be going to him on quite a regular basis now out of the pen.
Joe, I was over on campus, it's been maybe a couple weeks ago, but give us an update on the construction going on with the football stadium and some of the other things that they're doing.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. They're working hard to get the stadium done by the start of the football season. You're seeing a lot of the brickwork being done on the big entry gates now, the entrances, and around the facade of the side of the stadium. It gives me a chance to mention that those commemorative bricks are being sold now for $200, and you can have a message, a dedication put on them. There's only room for 5,000 of these in 2 walkways in the east and west stadium gates. And you can go on the internet, bucommodores.com. You can build your brick right there and you know, have what you want engraved on that. Pay for it there as well, and we're looking forward to that. That's going to be a very nice, classy addition. I know a lot of fans are taking advantage of it. A lot of graduation presents being done as a result of that. So it's going to be a great look. I can't wait to see when it's done. It's kind of when you drive down Jess Neely Drive and you just see the part that's already done, the old tunnel entrance there to the stadium and all the brickwork that's been done to clean that up, it's really going to look terrific when it's over.
Joe, thanks as always.
Okay, guys. See you later.